Advent began on December 1st, and we know it ends on the evening of December 24th, 24 days, or 25 days if you want to go to Christmas. Half of 24 is 12, or half of 25 is 12 and a half, but today's December 13th, so that means we're already more than halfway through the season of Advent. It's not significant liturgically. The liturgical division of Advent is from the first Sunday up until December 17, and then from December 17 up to the Christmas Eve. Those are the two parts of Advent. But anyway, if you're inclined to be keeping track of things like halfway points, we're past it already. And that means that you are probably familiar with how Advent works. There's always a prophecy. The first reading is almost always a prophecy from Isaiah, and then the gospel shows how that prophecy has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So since we know that pattern, when we read today's first reading, we say, okay, here's another beautiful prophecy about what it will be like when the Messiah comes and what he will do. Here it says, I, the Lord your God, teach you what is for your good and lead you on the way you should go. So the Lord not only provides in abundance, not only heals, not only gives good things, but he also provides wisdom for the journey of life. I will teach you what is for your good. The Lord is a teacher. I will lead you on the way you should go. The Lord is a leader. Beautiful. And then if you follow me, well, then you get the blessing. So this is what the prophecy is. If you would hearken to my commandments, your prosperity would be like a river, etc. Okay, so that's the prophecy. And if you thought about it, you would say, well, if we want to show Jesus fulfilling this prophecy, we would probably pick some point when he's preaching, giving wisdom, showing people the right way to go. Maybe the Sermon on the Mount would be a good example. But when we turn to today's gospel, we don't get that. We don't have Jesus, it seems, his first impression, it seems as if he's not telling people what is for their good or leading them on the way they should go. Instead, he comes up with this description of the generation he has been sent to as a group of self-willed children. To what shall I compare this generation? It's like children who sit in the marketplaces and call to one another. So, what's this all about? Well, this is Jesus teaching us what is for our good and leading us in the way we should go. And part of teaching us and leading us, part of giving us divine wisdom, is pointing out when we don't listen to his wisdom, when we don't follow his way. So this instruction, even though it sounds negative to us, it sounds like a kind of rejection of his own generation, it's wisdom. And so the very last line is, wisdom is vindicated by her works. Let's reflect a little bit on the problem of Jesus' generation, which is the problem of every generation, really. Certainly our problem today. We're like children. Now, remember, Jesus calls us to be like children. And when he says that, he doesn't mean like this. This is the negative side of children. The positive side, or the side that we're supposed to imitate, is their humility, their innocence, their willingness to follow, their dependence on those who care for them. That's the good thing about children. They are dependent, and they know they're dependent. They expect their parents to take care of them. But children, as we all know, are also very selfish and cruel and demanding and immature. So we're not supposed to be like that. And so here Jesus picks out the negative side of children. These children are playing their flute, singing their mournful songs, and expecting those who hear them to respond to their music. And it doesn't happen. So they're complaining. They played the flute, we decided we wanted to have a happy occasion, and you didn't join us in the dance. We played a dirge, meaning like a funeral song or a mournful song, and you didn't mourn with us. You're not following our lead here. You're not playing the game according to our rules. Who's not following them? Jesus says it explicitly, John the Baptist and Jesus himself. John the Baptist and Jesus himself. So meaning the precursor, the one who is sent to prepare the way, and the Messiah himself. So here's the generation making demands on how God is going to fulfill his prophecies, or how God is going to usher in the age of the Messiah, and the people are saying, no, you're not doing it right. You're not doing it according to our rules. You see the problem here. They accused John of being possessed by a demon because he was so ascetical. He was fasting and living in the desert. They accused Jesus of being a glutton and a drunkard because he's eating with tax collectors and sinners. He's always hanging around with the wrong crowd. A couple of weeks ago, many of you were here, we had a teaching. We were reading Pope Francis's series on the vices and the virtues. We came to the vice of gluttony, and at that time I looked up gluttony in the Bible and looked up, you know, who's identified as a glutton. And in the whole New Testament, the only one who's ever identified as a glutton is Jesus himself. So you see, there's something wrong. Something wrong. Okay, anyway. Now, there's more to this problem than simply getting it wrong or playing the wrong melody. Beneath that, the more foundational problem is the idea that we're the ones who determine the music. That we're the ones who decide how God and everybody else is supposed to act. That's a very serious error, but a very common one. We live in strange times, this postmodern era, where we have two kind of suppositions that are imposed on us, or philosophies that are we're supposed to accept. One is, this is the postmodern idea, that everything came into being accidentally, and that it just happens by itself, and we ourselves are just specks on a worthless blob and floating through space, and everything is meaningless. That's a philosophy people have, because there's no reason behind it. It just happens because of natural forces. Pretty depressing way of seeing things. And then the other side, which is sometimes the very same people, say, well, since everything's meaningless, you have to impose meaning on the reality, on your life. You have to decide the meaning of your own reality. That's pretty depressing too. But it's a very funny kind of contrast to have the idea that nothing means anything, and that what I decide has meaning. It doesn't make any sense. But both of those positions, or that one position with the two sides, is in direct contrast to the reality, which is that God is the one who created us, and he established creation with a certain order, that there is such a thing as right and wrong. There's a right way to dance and sing and the wrong way. And that we as his creatures, if we want to be fulfilled, to find a way to happiness, we have to submit ourselves to that existing reality. That's the best way to live. So this is the problem of these children in the marketplaces, meaning this is the problem of everybody who thinks like this. It's not that we determine how everything is going to go. We are not God. We're not the ones who decide the music. Now, we do have a certain range of freedom. There are some things that are our own responsibility. We can go different ways. But we're not the ones who determine what's right and what's wrong. That's exactly the wrong position. So that's the problem of these children. And this is what leaves them in their immaturity, their refusal to submit to something that is determined by God or by anybody other than themselves. That's immaturity, to refuse to accept reality. Okay, wisdom is to submit ourselves to what is true and right, to to collaborate fully with the will of God. That's wisdom. Okay, so we can see why these people are so disappointed, why they're complaining. Because their very standard for the way things are supposed to go is wrong. Their criteria are all wrong. If we start with ourselves, well, yeah, we're going to be disappointed because things won't go the way we want. But if we start with God, start with reality, if we start with truth, if we start with what is right, and we choose that, then we can persevere even when things don't go the way we prefer. And even when we don't understand what's happening, we can say, well, I still choose God. I still choose the right way. Today's saint is a great example of a mature woman. I don't know how old she was, St. Lucy, when she died. She's probably a young woman. Anyway, St. Lucy, she decides to give herself to God. This is back during the reign of Diocletian, the terrible persecution in the early 4th century, where it was not only illegal to be a Christian, it was a death sentence to be accused to be a Christian. And St. Lucy says, I am a Christian, and I'm determined to remain a Christian, even if you kill me. The suitor, or let's see, I don't remember all the details, but somebody wanted to marry her, and she had vowed herself to God, so she refused him. And the suitor determined to destroy her. This is typical immaturity. If I can't have what I want, well, then I'm going to destroy it and no one can play the game. And you see this all the time in violent, destructive reactions people have. They think they're being tough. They think they're determining, they're going to take charge. In fact, they're just like these children. Oh, I played a flute for you. I asked for your hand in marriage. You turned me down. Well, so now you're not playing the game the way I want to play it. So I'm going to destroy you. And that's what happened with Lucy, St. Lucy. But she is not immature. She's a woman of wisdom, a woman of faith and courage. And she says, I don't care what music you play. I belong to God. Do what you will. You see the strength in that position, the beauty of it, the wisdom of it. Now, yes, she's put to death. And she, because she's resting on a solid foundation, she reigns in glory. Well, this is the wisdom that we're being taught. God does teach us what is for our good. Do we accept it? Do we follow it? He leads us on the way we should go. Do we follow that way? If we do, we're wise. If we don't, we're foolish. So let's be wise as we enter into the second half of Advent. Let's be wise and submit ourselves with joy, with courage, with determination. Submit ourselves to the great way of God.